How did you come up with this idea?
We had been talking about doing a film. We wanted to do a film with an untraditional main character. We just liked that challenge of having somebody who maybe audiences wouldn't immediately think is the guy I can identify with, but over the course of the film, he kind of like grows on them, and maybe if he's not traditionally likable, he's at least engaging and does have some good emotional moments. And we've been talking about this particular character. He seemed like perfect combination of like obsession, passion, insecurity, and pompousness to be a good comedy slash drama character. And then and when I say this character, I mean kind of like a know-it-all
nerd
obsessive domineering type.
Yeah.
Because I've been that guy before, certainly, and better now. But I've known people like that as well.
You are better now?
And then I have been playing Dungeons & Dragons and other role-playing games since, like, fifth grade or so. And so that was a world that was very familiar to me and comfortable and had I just knew well, and also was a good backdrop for a character who we wanted to become, like, a passionate artist. Misunderstood artist guy. You know, this is a pastime that you can easily spend hundreds of hours into if you're obsessive type, and then be very principled and obsessive about the details and the art of it. And so and then from there it became, well, who's a good, you know, kind of something like a nemesis for this character, and that's when we came up with the sort of hipster nerd idea. Guy who doesn't take anything seriously, who is doing it, but only, like, as a sample. He's not obsessive.
And he's just, you know, he's more socially adept than Scott. That's sort of, like, their biggest difference.
Yeah.
Social skill.
Yeah. Both a lot of insecurity. So it was, like, what type of person would make Scott the most insecure?
Yeah, it was sort of like, yeah, that's sort of where, yeah, what would be Scott's worst enemy?
So considering that, you know, considering the fact that this film is driven so much by these characters, the cast is incredibly important. So how did you guys cast this film?
Well, we didn't have a casting director. We cast out of Austin, that's where we're based out of. We just cast, you know, did a wide net, had, you know, hundreds of people come, and or maybe 150 people come. Which was, you know, Scott doing it on your own with no help. And Sam is the lead. We saw him in some shorts in town, and he in some like, small parts in films, and we cast him for the teaser trailer we made in 2011. We did like an Indiegogo teaser trailer to raise money, and we're like, well, we don't know if we're going to cast him in the feature, but you know, we'll see how it goes. And he did such a great job, and that we were like, okay, this is our man, this is our Scott. You know, and I can't believe we basically did not audition anyone for that role, and we just, it was like the first guy we found, which is kind of insane because I think he's so great in the movie. He's like, I can't imagine anyone else doing it. And then other interesting casting, I guess, is, you know, the professional other actors who've actually, like, acted a lot before were Andrew's father, who's Greg Thorne in the film. That's Andrew's dad, is the character actor. So he was in the film. And then Angie Bird, who played Wanda, the grandmother. So we flew them out. But other than that, everything was cast out of Austin.
The film just has this really easily approachable style. I mean, I grew up on stuff like, you know, Grandma's Boy and Clerks and things like that. And I almost feel immediately at home watching this film. What did you guys watch growing up, and how do you think it affected this film?
Well, I was a big John Hughes fan as a kid. Like, those movies, they were just like, I don't know, like your childhood living room couch, you know? Like, I love those movies. And so there's a little bit of that in there.
Party at the end.
The party at the end.
And being a social outcast. We actually told Sam, you know, instead of telling him, like, oh, okay, we want you to play like a nerdy guy, instead said he told him, like, you're John Bender from The Breakfast Club. Like, that's who he wanted, you know, Scott to think that he was, like, a rebel, you know, a
yeah.
guy. And also because, you know, that character in The Breakfast Club had such vulnerability to him.
Yeah.
You know, beneath that tough guy exterior, and he wanted Sam to, or Scott to have that same vibe.
Yeah.
And I, growing up, I was a big sort of British comedy fan. I mean, you know, Monty Python. And even to up till today, like, my favorite comedy is probably The Office, The British Office.
Yeah, that was a huge inspiration for us, British Office. Because it's a character that's so challenging to life. And then to, you know, go to the end of the series where you're like, wow, I feel really bad for him. And I don't know. That's amazing. Because I feel like that's, you know, real life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When you maybe meet someone and you're like, oh, God, they drive me crazy. And then you kind of start to know them more and you start to understand, like, oh, okay, this is kind of wired that way. And those are some of my favorite friends that I have that were kind of, like, harder to like at first. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So this film kind of takes you a little bit on a roller coaster. The first scene in the supermarket, you're just like, who is this guy, this knucklehead, you know? And later in the
yeah.
film, you know, when he's getting his hand read, and you sense, like you said before, that vulnerability, and you kind of start to feel for him. And when you see what his family is like, you start to feel for him a little bit. What do you want people to feel when they see this film?
I actually heard this in a talk with Mike White, the guy who wrote Enlightened and School of Rock, and we're big fans of his work. And he actually did a talk about traditional main characters. And he said something that really kind of hit home, which was that if you take the audience on a journey, like Katie just said, of like learning to empathize with somebody who's not like them, you know, that's such a great achievement, you know. And I think that's what we most hope could maybe happen with this film, is for, like you said, like, people to go, oh, this guy is, I'm not interested in this guy, I'm not, you know, and then to end up learning to empathize. I mean, I think it's, you know, that's such an important, like, human quality, is learning to empathize, not with people who look like you, or not with people who are, like, good-looking and charming and all that stuff, but learning to empathize with people who are, you know, most sort of socially outcast.
Yeah.
That was a challenge that we took on, and we were, honestly, like, the first few days of shooting, we're like, what have we done? But it's like a really fun, this is really
more like
dangerous territory.
Yeah, let's for our first film, let's create an unlikable character. That's a great idea. But I think also one of the major things we want people to walk away from this film is just to say, like, I know that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I know that guy. And that's so exciting me when I see a film that can do that. And if people walk away from this movie saying that, then it's like we did our job. So
how do you guys want this film to be remembered 4 or 5 years from now? You know, when, like, the dust settles and it's kind of like, you know, not like on the first row in the video store and stuff, like when it's got a little bit of dust on it, how do you want people to kind of look back on it?
It's like Katie used to say, like, years ago when we were, you know, trying to get started in indie film, Katie would always say, like, I want to be a cult film director. And so, you know, it would be awesome if this movie could have some kind of, like, cult status. You know, I mean, not, like, the biggest movie in the world or anything like that, but just something that people always, you know, that kind of comes, has those legs.
Yeah.
That is not... I would rather it be something that's remembered moderately for a long time than something that's just, like, everybody talks about for a week and then it's forgotten.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something like Dungeons and Dragons that I've been playing for so long. There's, you know, it's a subculture that if there are films made about it, it's usually pretty superficial or, you know, just for gag stuff. And, hey, it would be amazing for people to consider Zero Prisoner like one of the best movies about that subculture that's been made. I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.